Welcome to the introductory podcast, which accompanies the new international residency program, which is a collaboration between the Theatre Festival of Flanders, the Dutch Theatre Festival, and the Battersea Arts Centre in London. The residency took place over the course of three festivals in the late summer of 2022. In recent years, artistic exchange across national borders has suffered a significant decline. This is paradoxical, considering there is an ever-increasing amount of themes and issues that transcend national borders. The Theatre Festival of Flanders, the Dutch Theatre Festival, and the Battersea Arts Centre in London therefore felt that it was important to stimulate an international exchange of views. To this end, they have created this new international residency program. For this residency, they have made the conscious decision to opt for an exchange of people instead of an exchange of products or performances, hoping to stimulate a shift from product-oriented thinking to more process-oriented forms of working. The international residency took place over the course of 9 days, and six makers, two from each of the organizers' countries, were invited to get together to look at the festivals from their personal perspectives, to take stock of the state of the performing arts in each of the countries that they visited, and share their findings with one another. During the Horizon Showcase at the Edinburgh Festival in late August, the Dutch Theatre Festival in early September, and the Theatre Festival of Flanders in mid-September, the guests and residents have visited and discussed performances, met other professionals, discussed work practices, international themes, and ultimately have shared their findings with the public in various ways, which includes this podcast series. The range of performances at each festival were interdisciplinary, with a focus on intermediate forms between theatre, movement, dance, and performance. The makers that were invited to join all have an interdisciplinary profile, resulting in a group of intersectionally diverse freelance makers who are not connected to fixed structures. In this way, the festivals hope to stimulate an artistic international discourse that is not conducted by policymakers, directors, or programmers, but by makers themselves. My name is Lisanne Kniese, and together with Debbie Oskam, we accompanied the guests in residence during their time in Amsterdam. To get a better idea of who the six creators are who participated in the residency, and therefore also in these podcast episodes, I had a small informal chat with each of the creators in the cozy environment of Theatre Café de Smoesham. First up is Hester Stefan Chillingworth from the UK. They are an experimental performance maker and director, making playfully subversive and intervisionist work, which sits at the crossroads of live art, theatre, visual art, text, and film. The things they make often play with language, duration, misunderstanding, and gender, and they are a long-term collaborator with world-renowned experimental performance company Forced Entertainment. Hey, Hester Stefan. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Hester Stefan Chillingworth. I'm from the UK, and I am non-binary.
What do people need to know about your work?
I would say the thing to know about my work is that I am most interested in form over content. So I think that developing new forms of all sorts of things, of artwork, but also of family structures, of language, of politics, that kind of thing, developing new forms is like the most radical thing we can do, and it's the thing that people in power get most scared of. And I think sometimes in art we are told that the content is radical, but I actually think sometimes very radical content can get put inside very conservative forms and then it's trapped, it can't really do its radical work. So my biggest interest is trying to find new radical forms in artwork.
What performance would you do again?
I think I would say it's hard to pick just one exactly, but I would say I made a show with a company that I ran called Get in the Back of the Van in 2012. The show was called Big Hits, and I'm really proud of that show. And it was the first show, really, that we toured internationally and started having an international conversation. So I don't know if I'd really want to do it again because I think it was that moment in time, but I definitely think of that as a really important moment in the journey of making work for me.
Up next is the Polish Maria Magdalena Kozłowska, who was asked to join the residency after having collaborated with Tobias Kokomans, director of the Dutch Theatre Festival. She lives and works in Amsterdam, where she finished the Das Arts program. In previous works, Kozłowska focused on the interaction between changing economic relations, identity, and family traditions. As an artist, she is interested in figures of liminal identity. In her work, you can observe social critique, taking form of irony, teasing, but also elevated operatic Gesamtkunstwerk. Maria Magdalena is also an amazing artist with eyeshadow. Every day of the residency, she would create wonderful, colorful art pieces on her eyelids. Welcome, Maria Magdalena. Can you give us a rundown of who you are?
My name is Maria Magdalena Kozłowska. I'm originally from Poland, but I've been living and working in the Netherlands for the last 4 years.
What do people need to know about your work?
I am fascinated with human voice and its political potential, and how we can use classical singing and opera in order to convey important contemporary messages.
What conversation should the world be having right now?
Yeah, I think we should start with individual questioning of ourselves and our own perspective, and we should try to find the joy of being passive in a certain sense, and to listen and to absorb and to stop being so surprised all of the time.
We follow Maria Magdalena with the other artist who was asked to join the residency by the Dutch theater festival, Mathieu Weideven. Mathieu is the only artist from this residency whose work I've seen. The wonderful piece, Het Waarom Beantwoord, The Answer to Why, which is about Mathieu's journey and his great-great-grandfather. After graduating from the Maastricht Theater Academy, Mathieu has created works that invite his audiences to reflect on personal and existential themes through abstract sculptures. His piece, The Answer to Why, is his first exploration into text-based theater, for which he won the Theater Writing Prize during this year's Dutch Theater Festival, something he still has not recovered from. In between shows, Mathieu kept the residency group entertained with a variety of magic tricks the others tried in vain to solve. Mathieu, tell us who you are.
Hello, I am Mathieu Weideven, and I'm a theater maker based in Rotterdam, in the Netherlands.
What do people need to know about your work?
Yeah, I studied performance in Maastricht, so I was taught to work from my own material, to create my own material and question rules between in theater, and to also, yeah, not especially work with like text-based or dance, or but look for something in between. And yeah, I did made a lot of interdisciplinary work with video and actually always visual language. Visual theater maker was always important for me. More recent, I jumped a bit into text, more text-based, as like something add to the visual. I became interested in undiscovered part of theater history in Suriname. And yeah, a lot of my work lately is around this, around the text that I found from my great-grandfather, who did theater in the 1900s in Paramaribo and was like the first generation of people who were free to make work after, like, or do cultural stuff like after slavery ended.
What is the best advice you've ever gotten?
Best advice I've ever gotten is maybe to always look for strength in stories. Yeah, you can get caught up in the drama of a story, but I think it's important to, especially if you're busy in like a field of stuff that's forgotten or is like repressed, that it's important to always find and look for strength, and to also fantasize and give credit to power that was there while it was not visible on first hand.
That was the first half of the residency participators. We now move on to the youngest creator of the group, the very promising Muzia Wankumi, who is currently a master's student in drama at KASK in Ghent, Belgium. She did her internship at the Zaak Shell, or the Shell Case, made by Rebecca de Witt and Anouk Nuyens, for which she was nominated for the Colombina VSCD Theatre Prize. In their work, Muzia, as a black queer person, tries to propose a new and broader focus, Her interests are wide, and she shares them freely with an easy and open demeanor. At the time of the Amsterdam part of the residency, Muzia was reading a book about the intricate structures of fungi. Would you like to introduce yourself, Muzia?
My name is Muzia. Muzia Mwankumi. And I'm 23 years old. My pronouns are she, her, they, them. And I feel like not yet knowing what my work is, but feeling where it might go. That's me exploring my multidisciplinary practice. Now I mostly assert myself as a performer, but I feel like I want to get into making and mostly like decor, scenography making. Then maybe I will like to make images, and then from there on, images in the sense of like I build something physically and then this tells something and then I'll put some things in it. Because I want to map what might already be there but is not seen, because we tend to like to forget what we don't know. I would like to change the world with my work because I still have like this dream and idea that I need to save the world because I don't like how it is right now, and I hope I can like broaden some perspectives about how we position ourselves as humans within the world and within the universe.
What experience did you think would be of great importance but wasn't?
Maybe more my identity as a queer person of color, and then the things that happened to me with this identity that shaped me to have like a different kind of perspective on things that I have to look and have to reflect, because I'm pushed in a position where I have to reflect upon the things that happen. And this is like, I feel that this opens my senses because I have like big sensors because of things that happen. I think like climate change and the idea of people actively destroying what is here is really pushing me, or is my, how people deal with the world is a force for me to make work about this or reflect upon this, and then from there on try to make things or talk about things or inscribe myself in pieces that talk about this.
Muzia was accompanied from Belgium by Priska Agnes Nishimoy, who we will be getting to know next. Priska's origins as a singer heavily inform her current work as a performer and a writer. In her pieces, she moves through word and sound with an enormous fascination for the impact of the performative, the intangibility of sound, and what makes someone an artist. Where emotion, intuition, and instinct are central, she shifts, driven by philosophical questions between beauty and tragedy in a vanguard universe. But do not get fooled by Priska's penchant for dark clothing. During the residency, she was one of the liveliest people in the group, with a fantastically loud, booming laugh. Priska, who are you?
My name is Priska Agnes Nishimwe. I was born in Butare. That's a city in Rwanda. Then I was raised in Antwerp. That's a city in Belgium. And I was also raised by my mom, who is from Togo. She was born in Abidjan. So that's quite the foundation of me.
What do people need to know about your work?
My work always comes from intuition. It contains a lot of emotions, but it gets always led by instincts or demolished by instincts. So, I mean, it always changes. I am a performer first, but I started out with spoken words, with singing, and now I'm slowly starting to know the world of theater. So, but I think there's in all the three disciplines I have been doing, this urge of finding a voice. I think this is mainly what I can say about my art, and also meeting souls who I am attracted to, whether it's something beautiful or something awful.
When have you felt supported as an artist?
I think I've always felt supported as an artist after a performance. I mean, it's like a certain gratitude you get before a performance or and after a performance. I feel the most supported because, like, one, somebody asks you to come and perform, to, like, somebody asks you to give, like, really want to give you a place or a stage to be seen or to tell something. So that's already a big support. And then after, when people come to you and take the time to tell their opinion or tell them what they experienced by hearing you or seeing you, I think that's also a really big support, because mostly it's like an interaction. And on stage, you're alone, or you're with the collective, or you have like this state of mind, your thoughts. And then beside that, when people really take the time to come and interact and have this real life one-on-one conversation, I think that's my drive to keep on doing this. So that's the biggest support.
And finally, we have reached the final participant of the residency, the British Mark Moen, who, even though he had to respond to what sounded like an avalanche of emails and phone calls during his time in Amsterdam, always gave the impression of having a fantastic time. Mark's work often platforms those with a marginalized experience of the world. He makes bold, uncompromising, and quietly radical pieces. More recently, his practice has focused on collaborative projects with specific communities, building them over extended periods of time. Mark, finally, introduce yourself.
So my name is Mark Moen, and I am a theatre director and maker and translator. I'm from the northeast of England, but I also live and work in London currently.
What do people need to know about your work?
I think I would like people to know that my work is very informed by the fact that I am a linguist. I did an undergraduate in French, Spanish, and Portuguese. And I think that really has informed the fact that I have always wanted to work not just in the UK but outside it as well. Another thing that's important to mention about my work also is the fact that I had a very strong text background originally, and trained with a company that was very focused on British new writing and a very specific type of script. And over the years, I still use text in most of my work, but it's used a lot more in different contexts as well. So I've worked with movement, I've worked even in circus, I've worked in lots of different contexts. So text is always there, but formally I like to experiment quite a lot based on who I'm working with and what we're talking about at that time. I'd also say that lockdown freed me up in some ways, in that I really started to interrogate the fact that I've always wanted to work not just in black box spaces or theatres of any scale, and I started to work outside and outdoors and in different spaces, and with bigger groups, actually, with a lot of participation within the work that I do. So that is something that I am now developing and doing a lot more of in the projects that I do.
When did you start calling yourself an artist?
I think that maybe it's a cliche, but actually being able to say out loud the fact that I'm an artist is probably when I really was able to claim it as not just my identity, but also my occupation. I remember when I was training and doing my master's, I had a really strong reaction against this idea that I was an artist, and that I felt it was a pretentious term. And I look back now and I realise that was very much my own shit going on there, to be honest. So the fact that I can use it to define myself and know that it doesn't mean a very specific type of cliche or stereotype is when I really do feel that I have been able to call myself and identify as an artist. So I can't give you an exact day of the week or a project or a specific moment. I think it's sort of a gradual thing. And when you realise that that is the way that you engage with the world and that's how you frame, yeah, that's your perspective on the world, I think it's happened slowly but surely over time rather than a show that I saw or a project that I did or a conversation that I had. It's more a gradual acceptance and hopefully celebration of that fact too.
And there we have it. All 6 creators have been introduced. The 2 preceding podcast episodes will divide this group into 2 groups of 3. First, I shall sit down and talk with Mark Mohan, Maria Magdalena Kozłowska, and Priska Agnes Nishimwe about their experience specifically of this residency. The experience of watching 18 shows with 6 other people in such a short span of time. How this residency, being experience-oriented and not outcome-based, has affected them. And we dive deeper into a couple of shows that the group has seen both in Amsterdam and in their first stop of Edinburgh. The second episode is with Muzia Wankumi, Hester Stefan Chillingworth, and Mathieu Weideven. And rather than focusing on their direct experience of the residency, we talk about their practice as makers and the wider themes this bringing together of 6 very individual people has brought about. Amongst other things, we cover the role of identity in their work. From there, we end up in the well-known human phenomenon of creating boxes for oneself and others. And ultimately, we talk about the use of language in both the performances that the group has seen during the residency and in their own work. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast was made by Debbie Oskam and Lisanne Kniese, with the help of Luc de Groen.